coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, December 17th, 2021. I want to welcome everyone to today's show. Thank you very much for your patience, your kindness, your well wishes. As I was off for a couple of days, this is the first show back. My wife did make it through surgery fine. She had some issues, and of course, she went into surgery this week. And hence, I was off Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So thank you very much for your prayers, your kindness, your support, and your understanding, your patience with us. But back to full speed ahead. You know, Austin Brower is with me now. He's got a wing problem. Yeah, he hurt his wing more in this, or actually his paw. Okay. Hey, I'm looking for the man who shot my paw. Remember the Dogfather t-shirts? Anyway, yeah, looking for the man who shot my paw. But anyway, he hurt his paw. We're going to be talking about a number of things here momentarily. But I want to share a story. In fact, we're going to bring him on. Eric the Tech, how you doing? I'm just kind of scattered right now, but how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Okay. So I related this story. You know, it seems to me that it seems like every time I go into a medical setting, I always have an issue with somebody, or they have an issue with me. Maybe that's more accurate. Let me just share what happened. And Austin, I'm going to share this with you as well. Okay. Bring him on. Austin Brower, by the way, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Go there, Doug5, coupon code 5% off any non-saleable item. I'm going to tell you what, they are the best. They got the best supplements too. I was talking with a doctor. I'm not going to say which part of the country, but not local here to me. And I said, "How you doing?" He said, "You know, I'm doing well." And we were talking about making sure that we are okay, making sure our immune systems are strong. And he said, and this is a true statement. He said, "You know, I've taken like a lot of supplements over my life, but Health Masters, he knows my relationship with Health Masters, but he said, Health Masters, by far, I've seen the greatest benefit from Health Masters against other brands. So, hey, you know what? I can say this is doctor approved." If that's a thing. But seriously, healthmasters.com, Doug5 is the coupon code, D-O-U-G, the number 5. Use that at checkout for a marvelous, generous 5% discount here. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It wouldn't do, I wouldn't complain if in my Christmas stocking this year, there was some excellent vitamin C or D3, K2 or whatever. But yeah, I wouldn't complain. And folks, hey, go shopping, man. Knock yourself out with this. This is great stuff. But anyway, Austin, let me tell you something before I actually begin the conversation. So here's the situation now. Okay, I'm operating. This was my wife had surgery on Tuesday. So this had to be because I was up like all night Tuesday night and into Wednesday. I think this was yesterday. I'm not sure. But I'm operating like on zero sleep. And my nerve endings are exposed. All right, y'all. What am I, Southern? Kamala Harris bit there, y'all. I'm really not a happy camper. I'm grouchy. I'm none too fresh, right? And I've just about had it with people. And I will say this too. I'm going to address this in a different segment, but I did some investigating when I was at that hospital and I asked some questions. I casually interviewed some doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, and man, I found some things out that would just knock your socks off. All right. I mean, admissions by individuals, by doctors, by nurses, nurses and doctors who understand what's going on. But yet they say, "Look, I'm going to tell you something here." In one case, "I know who you are." This nurse said to me, "I know who you are. Let me give you some information that would help you in your quest for truth." And we had probably a 25-minute conversation. And, I've got it. And that led me to an unattended computer terminal. Now, Eric the Tech, did I not send you, I can't show this, but I had to verify what I was seeing. Did I not send you a screenshot of a computer terminal? Actually, a photograph of a computer terminal and what the files on that terminal. Did I not send that to you?
Yes, you did.
So was there any way for me to get that without, I don't know, unauthorized access?
No.
Okay, thank you. Oh, what I could tell you and what I will tell you. All right. But Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, and Eric the Tech, here's what happened. We're like day 2.5 out from surgery. My wife's in this big room. We must have hit the hospital room lottery or something. This huge room. It wasn't well appointed, but it was big. You know, it was probably as big as the studio. And I guess we're about 2 days out now post-surgery. You know, very, very painful. Every time she moved, it hurts. We had the litany. She had the litany of nurses coming in, checking on things, and the doctor come in. You know, no problem. Everything's good. So on the final stretch, nurse comes in. And now, bear in mind, I had left for a little bit and came back to the hospital. Bear in mind, my wife said, in a very weak voice, "This nurse, don't say anything to this nurse. Don't respond." And I was like, well, why? But okay, you know. Actually, she said, too, don't make a scene. I figured, okay, boy, this ought to be good. I was expecting the nurse to come in with purple hair. In fact, I did get a picture of her in the wild, and I'll show you that in a second. But so this nurse comes into this big room. The only person, there's two people in this room, my wife in bed and me sitting in a chair. And again, huge, a lot of space. So this nurse comes in pushing a computer terminal thing that has all kinds of stuff underneath, like medications and stuff. And those little cups, you know, they put the pill in, the professional pharmaceutical dispensing device that costs like $40 on, they bill you $40 for it. It was just like a little cup they put the pill in. It blows my mind. But anyway, nurse comes in. Now, from about 2 feet from the door, which was closed, and she opened the door and came in, pushing this cart about 2 feet away from the door and about probably 15 feet away from my wife in bed and lying in bed and me next to the bed. I hear this, "Do you have a mask?" Again, now we're the only two people in here. Actually, it was more like, but I got the take. So she pushes the cart in, and then I see it. She has got not one, but two masks on. She has got, now believe me, this is not even close to where they're taking care of coronavirus patients, the SARS-CoV-2 patients. Not even close. They got those people so far over. So I'm looking, and two masks, medical tape on top, medical tape on the bottom, and safety goggles. Are you getting me? Safety goggles. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, like glasses like you might wear at the range. I'm talking about, honest to God, scuba-looking safety goggles.
She must be doing lead abatement.
I'm telling you, she must be doing something else, you know, doing...
maybe a meth lab in the basement.
Maybe. I mean, I've seen, seriously, I've seen people in meth labs not have as much on as she, anyway. So, and then she's got this, something on her head. It looked like, it almost looked like a scuba kind of thing. It was just weird. So she yells out, "Do you have a mask?" And then I realized what my wife's admonishment to me, don't say anything, because.
And some weird like SS lightning bolt symbol, yes, too.
Well, I want to introduce you to Kathy. This is Nurse Kathy with an I. Okay, Nurse Kathy with an eye. She had on her, I don't want to get too detailed on this, but on her uniform or on her smock, she had Kathy with the eye there. And then underneath that, she had proud or vaccinated proud, like a homemade sticker. Okay. And what'd you say? The only thing missing was what? The SS lightning, you know, label on her arm, which I pointed to. And I looked at her when she said, "Do you have a mask?" And out of respect for my wife, I didn't say anything because my wife says, "Please don't, you know, don't talk." So I just looked at her because what do you say to somebody like that, that walks in and you know, and she kind of halted about, I don't know, 7-8 feet away. And I thought, okay, you know what? I want to live to fight another day. I don't want to cause my wife any damage, you know, any, and this is the first time in a rotation of doctors, nurses, the entire thing. So I went over and got one of the surgical masks and put it on just to appease her. Okay. Apparently she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to my wife. And I said, I had to say something. What? You want her to mask? You want to put a mask on her? She can barely function. She can barely breathe. And you got two masks on. You got safety goggles on. You got the entire friggin' whatever you want to call it outfit. And you are vaccinated, triple vaccinated, quadruple vaccinated, and you're proud of it. What the hell are you so afraid of? We're in a friggin' sterile environment, and you want her to put a there goes the bleep again. A mask on. I got to tell you, it didn't end well. We left later that day. The system's broken. The healthcare system is broken. You get a bunch of morons in charge of this. I am not happy about this. Yeah, that was kind of funny. There was other things that happened. I'm not going to disclose. I was pretty pissed off. So then that got me to thinking. Oh, and here's the other thing too. This other, yet another nurse came in after that, and I said, "Come here," because we had a good relationship. I said, "What's the deal with the nurse Ratchet over there, Kathy? You know, Nurse Kathy with an I. What's her deal?" So don't get me started. Don't get me started. Now, whoever's watching this from that hospital, I can guarantee you, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you in a bad position. The good nurse. But she said, "Don't get me started." Oh, she's a Nazi. She's a mass Nazi. I said, "Let me ask you a question. Did you get the jab?" She said, "Oh, no." I said, "You've been working here for 16 years I've been working here." I said, "Have you taken care of COVID patients? You know?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, many COVID patients." All right, so I don't want to take away from Austin, but I the insanity out there. When I left, not to bring my wife back, but when I left earlier, after that, because I had to leave, because they were going to, I was either going to throw that woman out through the window, and that was, I was really looking at the window, thinking, you know, first of all, can I do it? Number one, physically, because she was a balloon, okay? She looked like a linebacker. Now, I did catch, we do have a photo. Here's her in the wild. Can we put it up? I did catch a photo of her in the wild, and this nurse, you know, Kathy. There she is in the wild. And don't they all look the same? Of course, I'm kidding. That's not her, but that's a picture. You get the idea, right? The eyes and stuff. But seriously, I was really considering, like, you know, window, nurse, but again, she looked like, Bubba with the, sans the lightning, stuff on it. But the entire world has gone crazy. The system is broken. We, you know, I'm going to talk to Austin about this. Austin, I've got so much to say, you know, no sleep hardly. There's so much going on. You broke your paw. Your wrist. My apologies. I don't know. You were out there playing with the kids, right? And broke your wrist. You know, my best to you. But come on board and save me from myself, brother.
No, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's coming back together. They've been wanting to do surgery, but I'm pretty adverse to that. So I got another individual, a doctor in Tampa that I'm going to be getting an appointment with. He's going to take a look at it, see if we can heal it up with a bunch of awesome ag and joint rebuilding formula and some multiple and powdered. Just keep an eye on it. I mean, it's not my first bone I've ever broke. Broke quite a few of them when I raced motocross, so I know the gist of healing it. One thing that I found, though, when I ate it on that ice sliding down the driveway the other day, I don't bounce anymore. That was a interesting thing to learn. You know, when I was younger, especially in karate and jujitsu and moving around and stuff, I could actually, you know, kind of bounce when I hit. I'm pretty good at rolling out of stuff. And man, ice, you don't really bounce on ice at 33. You just kind of pancake on it.
Yeah. My age, you crack when you fall.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. There was no bouncing anymore. The kids thought it was quite funny until they realized that I busted my, my arm. But I was laughing at your story about the hospital. And the sad part about it is it's very real. And it's very true. And this is happening more and more now where we're seeing these individuals where we've talked about this for the last year and a half now. They've been given this newfound power where they get to walk around like they're this dictatorial tyrant and demand people listen to what they say. And, you know, I've never complied with anything people say with that. You were in the hospital setting with your wife. So it puts you in a precarious situation because you're trying to get everybody recovered. But the lunacy is what boggles my mind, is the lack of critical thinking, even from people in the medical field who allegedly are pretty smart and educated, you would think, for the most part, but that they have no reasoning skills in some cases, like this lady. Like, she comes in, full goggles on, double mask on, triple vaccinated, allegedly protected, not in a COVID ward, and you're in there with your wife. Both of you are completely healthy. They've never done the surgery on her for the most part, as far as with COVID, and you're in there with her. And she demands when she walks in, you wear a mask like you're some dirty, nasty peasant that's got leprosy and she doesn't want to be around you without you wearing a muzzle. And it's just kind of funny from an ironic standpoint that these individuals are so book smart, but they have zero critical thinking skills whatsoever in the real world. And they just blindly, blindly follow what they've been told to do. I saw an article earlier on CNN, when the doctors came on there and said, hey, by the way, on Christmas Day, everybody needs to be wearing a mask the entire time if you have multiple families in the house, and everybody needs to wake up and take COVID tests as soon as they wake up in the morning.
Wait, yeah, what? I saw that. It doesn't make sense.
What?
Yeah.
You're already in the house together. Everybody's perfectly healthy. Nobody's symptomatic, but hey, everybody needs to get a big old Q-tip shoved up to their brain first thing on Christmas morning to make sure we make it as negative as we can for everybody so we can make sure we can control everybody and keep a mask on. And I said this on our show earlier. I said, do you know how sick and twisted it is to tell people while their kids are opening up presents, everybody needs to be masked like a peasant, like a slave, like a dog? No body language, no smiling, no excitement. You don't even get to enjoy anything. Everybody's staring at each other with these big beady eyes. And throughout history, and I've said this repeatedly, and for some odd reason, this concept has eluded a lot of people. Muzzles and masks have never been used other than as far as protection, like on knights and stuff like that back in the day, you know, when they were fighting. But muzzles were always used on slaves and basically individuals who were basically captured and they were used as prisoners. They put muzzles on them all the time to degrade them, to basically demean them, to basically make sure that they couldn't speak, they couldn't communicate, to take their identity away from them. That's what they've always used muzzles for. And so when you see this being done now, and so many people still voluntarily wearing muzzles on their face when they go out in public, it really begs you to question, are the large percentage of people in the country, do they really like being dominated and they like being told what to do? And I think we're seeing now, out of fear, a large portion has, but there's also a large portion now that is starting to wake up. You know, I saw the article on New York or California.
Austin, let me just interrupt you for a second, because there was one part of that story I left out. I want to get your take on this. Okay.
Yeah.
Please listen to this and tell me if this isn't telling in some way, shape, or form, or maybe it's just me, I don't know. When the nurse came in, and please, yeah, I really want you to, I really want to get your thoughts on this. When the nurse came in, my wife had she was fighting back some nausea. So now, rather than give her like a medicine for that, she said, "Would you like the smell of peppermint?" Now, again, remember, the nurse is double masked. My wife is masked, okay? And, you know, my wife nods, you know, gingerly. Yeah, it's fine, you know? So the nurse pulls out, and I swear to God, this is true. She pulls out a sticker, a paper sticker that was a scratch and sniff thing that released the scent of peppermint and put it on her gown underneath, you know, close to her face. Now, the nurse said, now, this will create the scent of peppermint that could calm your stomach, you know, and if that doesn't work, we can certainly administer something. So I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, she's double masked, and my wife now has a mask on. It's a sticker that emits this aroma of peppermint, but everybody's masked up there. So my question to you, Austin, is does that even make sense? If the masks were doing their job, would, and this is a valid question to you, would the scent, the aroma, would you be able to, if you were protected from a virus from a mask, you wouldn't be able to smell anything, right? I'm asking, I don't know. Is that right? Help me understand this insanity.
It doesn't, because I mean, a simple vapor like that from a peppermint, if you're able to breathe and feel it and taste it and smell it through the mask, viral particles are much smaller than that. And I mean, especially when they talked about the COVID, and that's why I brought up on our show and I brought up to the school board. Dude, there's dozens of research studies that go into detail on how masks and surgical masks are never designed, nor are they ever meant to protect you from a viral exposure. That was never the point of them. The only thing they were used for the most part, was for doctors to wear them while they're in full clean doing a surgery to make sure there's no droplets or saliva or anything drips basically into the patient when they're working on them. So you see these people running around these dirty blue masks that they hand everybody at the hospital to put them on. There is zero research that even remotely points to the fact that those masks protect you from viral exposure. Zero. And even the manufacturers on the mask put it on the box and said, these masks do not protect against any type of virus or COVID-19. Just FYI. Now, if you start going into like full-blown like A50 or M50 double can respirators, you know, with biological filters on them, absolutely. You know, they cover your eyes and everything else, you know, full gas mask with filters on it. But that's not what they're telling people to wear. They're simply telling them to wear these little white cotton masks over their face to make everybody, again, compliant and submissive. And again, what you just said, there's no critical thinking there. So I can breathe the peppermint, but it's going to somehow protect me from a virus, and it's going to protect you against the virus. When it's funny, most of the states that have had the highest mask mandate restrictions have the highest cases of COVID. Florida being zero mask mandate anywhere down here in Florida, and they have cases of crash. There are people, do they get sick? Yeah. Do people die? Yeah. People catch the flu? Yeah. Happens every year. Newsflash. This concept that we have this basically new virus running around and everybody needs to be scared of it. No, you need to be wise and you need to protect yourself with proper nutrients. Let your immune system function properly. Reducing your oxygen uptake and recirculating your air that you're exhaling out of your lungs and basically keeping a contaminated, wet, damp, bacteria-infested mask on your face all day while you huddle inside doesn't make any sense from a natural immunity standpoint. And again, that's what people have to do, is they have to do their own research. Now they're showing in New York, Mayor de Blasio came out now, and he's saying that they're changing the definition of fully vaccinated to include boosters now. And he said it will be the way of the future to be considered fully vaccinated. You have to have your booster. Now, you and I both called this very clearly back in September when the FDA approved the third booster shot for emergency use for high-risk individuals and people that were 65 and up. It was like September 20th. And again, I said this won't be an option pretty soon. They approved it to get their foot in the door, and then by October, November, they approved it for all adults. Then now they're saying, well, you need it to be fully vaccinated. The Pfizer CEO has now come out and now said that a fourth booster shot is going to be needed to maintain protection, and that's probably going to be yearly vaccinations now is what they're expecting, which of course he's making tens of billions of dollars off this one shot alone. And so again, this is what I've said repeatedly, and for some odd reason, people still aren't listening. This doesn't stop. until people stop complying and stop submitting what they're telling to do. Now, the good thing about it is, in some of these free states down here, you wouldn't even know COVID was anything because, ironically enough, people have natural immunity and people maintain their immune systems and people live their lives like normal down here in Florida and Texas. And yet, because like when I went to the hospital, they did the same thing. They were like, when they wanted to basically put me in, they said, well, you have to put a mask on. I said, well, I broke my wrist and it's kind of hard to put a mask on with one hand. And quite frankly, I'm healthy and I'm not going to wear a mask. She goes, we have to wear a mask to get in. She hands me a mask. I said, okay. So I took the mask and I just walked off. And then I just put it in my pocket and sat down, no mask. Another nurse came up to me. She goes, oh, we got to take you back to radiology. So, okay, they're taking me back to the whole hospital. Nobody says anything to me about it. Finally, one you can tell, just one of these Karen nurses walked up and said, sir, do you need a mask? I said, no, actually, I have one right here. I appreciate it, though. And I put one back in my pocket. She gives me like the weirdest look, like, wait a minute. What is, yeah, exactly. Like, you got to put a mask over her mouth. So she gives me this look with a mask over her face, and it's like, well, how do I respond to him now? I'm tromping through the, you know, doggone hospital, just minding my business, talking to people, you know, best I can, being, you know, good cheers with a busted wrist. So I figure there's no reason to be mad about it. It hurts. Might as well laugh. Makes it feel better. And it was just funny, though, to see a lot of their reaction, how it was kind of like, okay, what do you do? And then yesterday I had to go back and get x-rays on the CD because they couldn't email them to me. So I had to go back over there, went to the main entrance, not the ER. And there's this whole line going in the front. Everybody's standing there in good little lines, getting their sanitation, getting their alcohol in their hands. Then they're walking over, getting their temperature checked. Then they're getting handed their mask. It's like an assembly line. I'm watching it and I kind of shake my head. And I'm like, this is bizarre to watch. And so I just walk around everybody, just walk in the entrance. And one of the guys, like security guys doing, I guess, the temperature test. He goes, sir, I need to check your temperature. I said, no, it's fine. I'm perfectly healthy. Don't worry about me. He said, sir, no, we need to check your temperature. I said, no, I don't need my temperature checked. I'm not sick. What concept are you not grasping? And I just walked off. And then he kind of gave me this look like, oh.
This is the thing, Austin. First of all, I'm not going to deny, and I don't think anyone can deny, there's something going, there's something, there indeed was a bioweapon released.
Oh, yes. Actually,
okay. But there's something going on right now that's different than last year. Because consider this, and let me ask you this. Right now we've got, and this is according to the CDC's own data table for daily death trends, there have been 127,184 SARS-CoV-2 deaths between September 1st through November 30th. So again, that's 127,000, rounding down. That same period last year, this total is 45% greater than the same period in 2020. So my question is, so many questions because there's so much going on here, but we're approaching this all wrong. As you pointed out, the locations with the highest vax rate, the jab rate, they're increasingly more hospitalizations and deaths. Newton, Massachusetts has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world. And again, vaccination is not the correct term, with 97% of the entire population having the jab, including 99% of the 12 to 15 year olds. Yet, despite this and the indoor mask mandate, the town has more cases than this time last year and is likely headed toward a record. What the hell is up with this? I mean, explain this to me in simple terms where I can understand this, Austin. I mean, there's something going on here.
From the research that we're seeing, Doug, and this is what we were extremely nervous about, and this is what numerous doctors and scientists that I know have pretty much explained to me now, this shot is progressing the virus. It's making it mutate. On top of that, it's making every single person, as they said from the beginning, the researchers that looked at this, they are pathogen production manufacturing sites. These people are literal walking petri dishes. Now, not everybody responds like this, but a large percentage of the people, because remember, it doesn't give you a denatured or dead virus for your body to fight off, like simply getting a measles injection. It gives you a RNA, basically insert, that tells your body to actually start manufacturing spike proteins, the very spike proteins that cause you to get sick, the very spike proteins that cause you to have blood clots. Your body actually starts making them. So you turn into a pathogen production spike protein manufacturing site. The concept has eluded people. This is not a vaccine. It's gene therapy. And so when you've seen all these people, but perfect example, just another perfect example. My brother's in college. He always falls in love with stuff. Cornell University. They have now had 903 students test positive for COVID between December 7th and December 13th. Now it looks like all the final exams are going to be virtual again. 900 students in a basically a 5-6 day period. The crazy part about this, 97% of the entire student body of the college is fully vaccinated, with majority of them having booster shots. Okay, so here's the million-dollar question that I can't seem to get anybody to answer that is in the COVIDian cult. If the shot is working so well and we need to mandate the shot and force people to get shot against their will for everybody's protection, why are the majority of people that are coming down with COVID and getting sick, why are majority of them now individuals that have been fully injected with the shot that supposedly protected them? And the answer is because the shot wasn't designed to protect you. It wasn't designed to stop you from contracting it. It wasn't designed to stop you from spreading it. It was designed to make your body turn into a production site of spike proteins. Now, some people's immune systems, some people's responses are better than others. I think some people kind of, their bodies are very resilient still, and their bodies are able to fight back this gene therapy that's been injected. Other people are having horrific debilitating side effects. And I also think the fact we talked in detail about this a month ago on the research study that came out where they looked at it and they found that there were only a few batches of the Pfizer Moderna shot that were linked to like 95% of the deaths and the serious adverse events, where there are also multiple batches that had virtually no recorded adverse events, and except like one or two, and one was like soreness at the injection site, and that was it, leading a lot of researchers to believe that these shots, these injections, these batches are not the same. Certain injections have higher doses of the RNA. Certain injections may have less. Certain injections may be simply saline solution with nothing in them. And the problem is there is no oversight on this. This is emergency use authorized drugs. This is research drugs. They do not have any type of requirements as far as testing this stuff after they're out there. They have no ability to have any recourse from any United States American if they get sick from it. The CDC has shown on the VAERS reporting now that the astronomical rate of cardiac events is going through the roof right now with Americans. And it's all individuals who have been injected. And so you have to ask yourself a question. If the myocarditis and the pericarditis wasn't being caused by the injection, and it was simply a societal norm now that this is an uptick in pericarditis for some whatever reason, why is it that pericarditis and myocarditis is hardly affecting anybody that is unvaccinated and hasn't been injected, and they've already had COVID? Because that's one of the arguments I've heard. Well, COVID in general, it's side effects from COVID, post-side effects from COVID, they're causing this, the myocarditis. Well, my question to that is, why have I had issues with pericarditis again? I've already had it once when I was younger from being abusive from all the caffeine and training and not sleeping. I said, why am I not being basically susceptible to it? Why is everybody I know that's not injected perfectly healthy, not having problems? Why is every single person I know pretty much that's had the shot having all these issues with blood pressure now, with cardiovascular problems, with kidney issues, with immune system problems, with autoimmune responses? The answer is the shot was designed to do exactly what it's doing, Doug, except now they're blaming all of the people that are getting sick that have been injected from the shot and being sick from the shot. They're now blaming it on a new variant, in my opinion, and they're now telling everybody it's because of the unvaccinated individuals that this is mutated. Africa didn't have enough injections. They weren't vaccinated enough. That's why it mutated in Africa with this Omicron. I don't believe for one second if this Omicron thing's actually real. I don't believe for one second this is a mutation. I think this is another lab-built bioweapon they're using Africa as an excuse by saying they didn't have enough vaccines. So what's their plan? What's their answer? Shoot them up, shoot them up, shoot them up, shoot them up. Africa needs more shots now to protect against Omicron. You need a third and fourth booster. this is a complete and total lie from Satan himself, and the vast majority of people have bought into it. Now we're finding out you want to even just get spit in the face even harder by these clowns. The manufacturers, this is from Reuters. I told you about this earlier today. This is from yesterday from Reuters. This is quite disturbing. According to a report published by Reuters yesterday, several COVID vaccine manufacturers are concerned about the experimental shots on the migrant populace. Listen to this. This is what Reuters put out. Tens of millions of migrants are being denied COVID-19 vaccine from a global program because major manufacturers are worried about legal risk from harmful side effects. You can't make this up. They said the refugees lack COVID shots. This is their excuse, right? Why they're not injecting all the illegals that are coming here from Afghanistan, from South America, from Mexico. This is their excuse. Refugees lack COVID shots because drug makers fear lawsuits. Tens of millions of migrants are denied COVID vaccines because of the harmful side effects that the manufacturers are worried about. The United Nations admits that most countries are locked into contracts with the vaccine manufacturer that requires immunity from legal ramifications from health effects connected to the shots of their population. However, listen to this, that the refugees and migrants are not beholden to any territorial laws, they can technically sue if they have adverse events occurring. So I have $2 million questions here that I would love to have somebody answer. A, if the shots are 100% safe and 100% effective, which Bumbling Buffoon likes to say on television, and Fauci says on television, why would the manufacturers even be remotely concerned about lawsuits from side effects if they're perfectly safe? And secondly, why are we being lied to and told this is why they're not giving the migrants the shots, when we know very clearly the entire concept of what they're doing here is now the old cloud and pivot strategy to bring in third world country individuals into a first world country, to hand them free everything, to keep them healthy, safe, sustained. At the same time, now the working population is paying taxes and contributing. We're being told if you're in a job with over 100 people, you have to have a shot or you're going to be terminated. Now, OSHA, a lot of that stuff is basically backpedaled. We've seen that. But why is it to get welfare and get food stamps, there's no COVID shot requirement to not work or do anything? You don't have to do anything. To come across the country illegally, to be transferred here, to jump on a plane from Afghanistan, get free stuff when you get here, no shot required. But if I want to go to a job and I want to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and provide for my family, I now have to get an injection because, well, you know, I'm the problem right now in society, not the tens of millions that are being transferred here that allegedly don't seem to be an issue if they're not injected because manufacturers don't want to have lawsuits, but the rest of the country needs 100% vaccination rate. This is so contradictory, it's nauseating to me. And the sad part about it is when you bring articles like this up, the girls like you ran into at the hospital, they just freak out and start yelling and flailing their hands and say you're an unvaccinated super spreader, and they run off out the door. They will not listen to the truth because they cannot deal with having to cope with their own delusional fantasy that they have now driven in themselves essentially crazy. These are delusional fanatics, and they do not operate in normal reality anymore. They operate in a delusional psychosis. And once they go into this realm, it's very, very hard to get them out of it. It's kind of like going in, you know, Alice in Wonderland. Once they go down that rabbit hole, they have a hard time getting back out of that rabbit hole as long as they continue to have the propaganda and fear porn pumped into their head every single day. The government and the media can pretty much control them in any direction that they want. Even if the media came out now and started saying, listen, everybody that isn't vaccinated, that's injected, you need to start hunting down unvaccinated people. You need to start shooting them in the street because they're a super spreader and they're going to kill your family. I can guarantee you, you would literally have purge effect style events starting to happen on the street with people running around, chasing people, trying to shoot them because, hey, you're the unvaccinated and you're dirty and you're going to kill me. So CNN's told me to hunt you down. People would actually follow it and do it if CNN told them to do it, Doug. I think that's how far down we are the line now with the delusional psychosis that's occurring in the populace.
You know, Austin, by the way, folks, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Please, folks, look, I'm, you know, just as people are begging you to mask and to get the jab, I'm begging you to go to healthmasters.com and take advantage of their product line, which includes, I'll tell you what, vitamin D3, K2, C, of course, zinc, which is a necessary supplement to be healthy. A physician I was speaking to, I ran into this gentleman. Actually, he was, when I was with working in EMS before, you know, before we were called first responders, I was talking, well, he worked in the ER, and he was a young doctor at the time. And actually, I have to tell you this, Austin, he used to, when we used to bring patients in, kind of as a digression here, sometimes, you know, from car accidents, bad trauma accidents, he was the trauma, he was in charge of the trauma department there. And he's retired now. But anyway, he's a guy that back then, what, 40 years ago, very interesting. You know, our shifts were 24 on, 24 off, and we would bring in people that were just, you know, shot, stabbed in car accidents. I mean, just incredible stuff. But sometimes you just get worn out and tired. And back then, now 40 years ago, when we walked in, we were like exhausted and, you know, having to do another 24, another 12 hours, he'd reach in his pocket and toss a half a bottle of Dexedrine. You know, here, go ahead. Here, have this. This will give you, this will help you go through the other, you know, the additional 12 hours of your shift or whatever. That's the way it used to be. Now, I'm not advocating that, but that's kind of the, you know, the mentality back then. Today, when I was talking with him, or this week when I was talking with him, and I saw him at the hospital visiting a family member, I asked him, I said, have you talked to any of your contemporaries, you know, the other doctors about their, for example, their vitamin D levels and, you know, about nutritional supplementation? This is pretty far into a conversation we had. And he said, yeah, you know, the thing that is common among the patients is a lack of vitamin D in their blood. And I said, yeah. Do the doctors, do the physicians test for that? He said, not regularly, no. But when you get in this particular environment, in this one hospital, when you go into the ICU, they do a complete blood count, and they do check the vitamin D levels. And he did say that in every case of extreme critical care, the patient's vitamin D levels were very low. And you've heard this, folks, but this is a doctor telling me this. He's still a doctor. He's retired. And talking to other physicians there. So I asked him, I said, does the virus cause the depletion of D, or is the depletion of D enhance the susceptibility of the patient? He said that one. So you know what, folks? Go to healthmasters.com, and please, please, by all means, please stock up on the immune support kit, the vitamin D3, K2, Ultimate Multiple, but do it before Christmas and have a normal Christmas. I beg of you. Use Doug5 as a coupon code. Look, a lot of these products are marked down. I mean, I don't know what their profit margin is, but I'll tell you what. How much would you pay to be able to breathe next week or to after the first of the year? I'll bet you would pay, give, you know, just about anything not to be in a position where you can't breathe. So please, go to healthmasters.com, I beg of you, and get their products. I have not found any better product line than on healthmasters.com. So there it is. I didn't mean to be so long-winded there, Austin, but just from what I've seen this week and what I've learned this week, Austin, there's something very wrong here. And you were mentioning about the treatment process, the care process. You know, have you done any research? I'll just say this. I looked into, remember Hillary Care? You remember?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you look at the proposition, what Hillary Care was and how Obamacare expanded on that, but was struck down in certain areas, because Hillary Care was pretty, I'll just say that was pretty revolutionary, and pun intended. They're bringing the healthcare system, in my view, down by design. As you mentioned, Cloward and Piven, let's stress the healthcare system. And my question to you, was the healthcare system broken and the SARS-CoV-2, did that expose the cracks in the system, or is that cracking the system, breaking the system?
I personally think, well, we know the healthcare system and the medical industrial complex has been compromised on many levels, primarily from the pharmaceutical industries. for decades now. They've gotten their fingers in there and they've gotten their money in the pockets of a lot of the doctors in order to get them to prescribe and incentivize them to give products out and drugs out that essentially should never really be on the market except in extreme cases. And so, yes, I think there are already cracks and stresses in the pharmaceutical industry causing it in the healthcare industry. And what that has done now, that has opened up the door for COVID to come in and be the excuse for causing the healthcare industry to start to collapse. But in turn, it was actually the plan to use it as the final nail in the coffin to split the healthcare industry apart by basically compromising from the end. I mean, a year and a half ago, we were telling everybody, you know, hail the heroes. These are the frontline workers. These are the people that are in the rooms, that are in the units, that are in the full hazmat gear, helping out with everybody that's COVID positive in the middle of this pandemic. Give them a round of applause. Give them a raise. These guys are the frontliners. 12 months later, we don't give a shit about what you did, excuse my language, a year ago. If you don't comply with getting an experimental shot, which the vast majority of you already have natural immunity because you've been exposed to it for a year and a half and you've survived, we don't give a rat's butt. You get the shot or we're terminating you. That right there shows you COVID, the entire concept of COVID was not about healthcare, was not about helping people, was not about getting through the alleged pandemic. It was 100% about bringing down the healthcare system to the ground so they could rebuild it in a new world order fashion in a globalized healthcare setting to where everything is going to be controlled essentially by the World Health Organization and whatever, what any other groups. That's where this is going. You're going to have this socialized medicine on a global scale. So everybody's going to be able to get the same basic crap treatment. But in turn, it's going to be used, in my opinion, as an eugenics protocol in order to pick and choose who they want to die and who they don't want to die. As we've already seen now, there are numerous cases where physicians are starting to say, we won't even treat you or allow you to do surgery unless you've been injected. We won't allow you to get an organ transplant unless you've been injected. We won't allow you to essentially do anything here or visit our doctor's office unless you've been injected. This is a war against individuals that are using critical thinking and do not want to have their rights violated and be told they have to have experimental gene therapy done to themselves that we've already seen now. Just in Europe alone now, the Eurovigilance, the European data suspected adverse drug reaction reports, as of December 4th, 2021, which has just run through pretty much the entire year now of January, from January 21 in Europe, 32,649 reported dead from vaccine adverse events from COVID-19 injection. 3,003,296 injuries. I mean, this is where it's at, man. This is showing you what it's doing. This entire shot was designed to be a eugenics protocol and then blame everybody that doesn't get the shot for the people that got the shot that are getting sick. This is exactly what they did in propaganda with, as far as with Russia, with the communist revolution. The people that are standing up, the people that are standing their ground, that are people that are trying to maintain freedom, they're the ones that are blamed as the provocateurs and they need to be eradicated. While then they bring in the Bolsheviks for a full-blown revolution, and they're the ones that are basically there to promote communism. And they're the ones that are supposed to save the day when it's complete and total opposite. You have to remember pretty much everything you hear on the mainstream media is either lie or heavily manipulated in order to change your perception of how you perceive things and how you think about things. And they've done a great job at that. That is why we're seeing the entire system start to implode with the healthcare problems. And at the same time, we're having problems. You're now saying, hey, let's go fire 800 nurses and doctors because they don't want to take an experimental shot. It doesn't make any sense unless you understand they're intentionally trying to bring the healthcare system down. So the next time they want to riot out another bioweapon, they can turn around and say, well, now the healthcare system's so strained, everything's a complete and total failure. We have to start over with the World Health Organization controlling it to make sure this never happens again. They have figured out now, these banker boys have figured out, this virus has been the absolute most effective way to take full-blown tyrannical control of every country. There's no pushback, for the most part. There's, in a lot of states, I should say, there's some pushback and stuff like that, but for the vast majority of it, people have complied very, very cleanly. There's been very little conflict. For as much, if you think how much has been restricted on the people, we went from 2019 living freely, traveling freely, flying freely, other than getting groped by TSA because I don't want to go with an x-ray machine, to now 2 years later, you can't even get on a plane without taking a negative test every 24 hours. You can't even walk in an airport or get on a plane without getting yelled at unless you wear a mask, or you got to bring like a coffee cup and a water bottle with you everywhere and got to fight with everybody for not wearing a mask. You can't even get into most countries now if you haven't been vaccinated without having to quarantine for 2 weeks at your own expense by paying a hotel. This is being used as a way to normalize this type of tyrannical lockdown, and it's never going to come back to the way it was unless people stop complying with it. Down here in Florida, look at Texas, Florida, you come down here, in most parts, you don't even realize anything's going on, except you see some stupid morons driving in their car by themselves with a mask on still. You still see that. But I mean, that'll never change. 10 years from now, you'll still see morons doing that because they like feeling like they're, you know, virtue signaler. But again, it's important that we realize it's our responsibility to take care of our health. It's our responsibility to stay stocked up on what we need, whether it's food, whether it's rice, whether it's food buckets, whether it's ammo, whatever you need, vitamin C, D3, magnesium, make sure you're stocked up on whatever you want. I've got numerous emails and we do the best we can to help out some of our customers. But lately, it's like I constantly get these emails and we get phone calls in. People go, oh, my wife's getting sick now and I don't have any supplements. I need to order something right now. They're like, okay, you know, we'll get you something. When's the last order? Well, I've never placed an order. I need product right now. Like, dude, I can have it to you next day air AM if you need me to. Okay. And we can get a decent rate on it. Like, well, I don't want to pay that. I'm like, well, dude, I'm not trying to be rude. We'll do the best we can to help you. But I can't eat a $20, $30, $40 shipping charge because you didn't wait. You waited the last minute to get subs. It's very important that anything you may need, whether it's cinnamon extract for your blood pressure or blood sugar, whether it's HGH stimulant for your blood pressure, whether it's vitamin C or D3 or astragalus or NAC, this stuff is going to start becoming harder and harder to not only manufacture, but harder to transport across the country. We've dealt with that firsthand down here in Florida with transport shipping companies and delays and rail cars and everything. This is a design plan to collapse the system from the inside out. So at that point, if you know that's where it's headed, you know it's your responsibility to stay stocked up on prep on whatever you need for however long you really need it from a legitimate standpoint, because it's your responsibility to maintain that. What do you think?
You know, my idea is, Austin, is the way to beat this is early treatment. Because I think they released a bioweapon. I really believe that this bioweapon is going to infect everyone, or everyone's going to be exposed to this. This is a perfect culling of the herd, so to speak, at least in their minds. It's evil. It's right from Satan himself, in my view, that was done by the world leaders, the elite that they like to think of themselves as. But I think it's the responsibility of everyone. If you're not informed about early treatment, and that includes your immune system, including and especially the supplements that you referenced, the zinc, the D3, a good solid ultimate, the multiple vitamin. If you go into exposure and subsequent sickness, brother, I'm telling you what, you are already like five or six, you're not at zero. You're like five or six rungs down below zero, you know, so don't wait until you get exposed or get sick from this. So early prevention and early treatment, I think, are the keys. And you know, something else you mentioned, I want to show you this. I don't know if we have it, Eric, the tech, this is something I want to just show you. And McElvoy, who's a journalist, called those who have not been jabbed lethal liabilities. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Okay. Now, the article that appeared, I believe it was in the Evening Standard over in the UK. I'm telling you what, this is some scary stuff. She's saying that now think about this. The unvaxxed have become a lethal liability we can ill afford. So what does that mean? Because words mean things. So those people who didn't receive the jab, we collectively and individually must be dealt with. This is where we're at here, in the UK at least. That's where they're at. So, show them. show them that your immune system, your God-given immune system, is a lot better than and enhanced through nutritional supplementation that we don't get through food anymore because of the processing of our food. Please be proactive. But you're right. You know, it's not up to us. You know, we can beg, plead, and whatever. You know, people are not going to do something for themselves. I don't know what I don't know what to say, brother. I really don't.
Oh, I know, and that's. I think that's the most frustrating part now is trying to encourage people to just listen. You know, you have to put in the effort. You have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, so to speak, as they've said. This is not going to stop, and so it's important. You know, people support the shows like yours and our show. They get the news out there. They forward the shows. They forward the articles. We can continue to do this because as it's going along the lines, and when people don't push back and don't say anything, they see it in the algorithms. Everything you do now, online, monitored, computer, phone, iPad, doesn't matter. If there's electronic aspect to it, it's pretty much monitored now. And what we're seeing is when people start pushing back, whether it's on social media, whether it's a person, whether it's memes, whether it's Twitter, doesn't matter. When people start collectively coming back and saying, no, we don't accept this. No, we're not okay with this. We're not going to go along with this. Those algorithms generate reports. And all of a sudden, these banker boys and all these NSA clowns and people that monitor everything go, listen, from a statistical probability scenario, this is not going to work out very productively because these people are not going along with it. X amount of people have basically said no. And so the more vocal we are, that is one of the biggest, most effective things we can do, because sitting back saying, I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, for example, look how far just in 10 years we have compromised and allowed the transgender, cross-dressing, perverted ideology to now not just become norm, to be extremely accepted and now promoted and taught in elementary and first grade school. Back in 2010, when the gay Kenyan Obama started to bring these topics up and bring these things up, it never was really much of anything that somebody wanted to accept. There was huge, huge blowback when Target simply said that guys could use the girls' bathroom if they identified as that. It was huge blowback. Now they're saying, oh, you can't even call somebody by the wrong pronoun or else you get fined in New York City. It's a hate crime. We've reached that level now where we have high school student boys dressing up in skirts, raping girls in girls' bathrooms. And we're saying, well, you know, he was just confused. You know, you can't really hold him responsible for that. Are you kidding me right now? This is not going to be the new normal, not at least in my family and around me. If people want to do this in perverted, sadistic states and they want to go along with this ideology, that's on them. That's why even DeSantis the other day, they were putting together an act, basically the woke act, to prevent critical race theory and cultural Marxism and a lot of this other perverted ideology from being promoted in schools. And if the parents want, they get to see full curriculum spectrum on it, full spectrum of the curriculum, and they get to opt out if they don't want their kids to be taught some of this stuff, and most of it's supposed to be dropped. And if they don't let their kids opt out of it, they don't give consent to the parents can actually sue the school down. And this was huge. And of course, immediately NBC today came out and they just absolutely slammed DeSantis. This is racist. This is so racist. Parents can sue the school board. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're saying that parents have a right to know what's going on and what's being taught to their children. But you're saying that, hey, it's racist to question it? No, guys, you got it all twisted. This is extremely important that parents have an idea of what goes in their children's curriculum. And quite frankly, it should be required that parents are involved to know what's going in their children's curriculum, especially if you want to keep raising little Americans, Doug.
Well stated. And I want to thank you for being more articulate than I could ever be, especially today, because I'm going to tell you something. This, to me, when you look at the entire landscape of where we're at, Austin, I think we have like very few choices. We either stand up now and fight back. And when I say fight back, I mean literally fight back. Stand up and say, look, we're not going to do this. Don't touch me. You know, we have to take back the narrative, take back our country. We have to take everything back. And we have to stop being silent. We have to stop being like, well, I'll tell you this off the record. No, let's go on the record. Let's change things. And, you know, you can't do that if you're sick, which is why healthmasters.com is so important to me, and it should be to you as well. Austin, I want to thank you so very much for riding with me and being my guest. And I got to tell you, man, I'm really sorry about your paw there, your limb.
Live and you learn. I won't play on ice again.
Yeah, I guess not. So, not in Orlando. You were in another area of the country when that happened.
North Carolina. Yeah. No ice in Orlando.
Okay, all right. That makes me feel okay or feel better. Okay. Well, brother, thank you very much. Until next week, I just want to say God bless you and thanks for all you do. Thanks for your clarity and your truth, and I appreciate you. I really do. You and your
thank you, my friend. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, brother. That was Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, go there. Doug5 is the coupon code. I really, really want you to make sure that you're healthy, that you have a jump on anything that you might come in contact with or, viruses. And I believe that a healthy immune system is key to beating this. That's healthmasters.com, Doug5. All right, I want to show you something here. Real quick here, I want to show you this. Can the Francis Collins clip, do you have that available? This is kind of, this is a little bit, I don't know how many people have seen this. Have you seen this? This is a little bit creepy. I mean, okay, this is a lot creepy. Let me know when you're ready with this. Yes. This, folks, if you haven't seen this, ask yourself, this is Francis Collins, the director of the National Institute of Health. Just let that sink in and watch this. What's your reaction to this? I know it runs about 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes, 15 seconds, but we're going to just play like a minute of this because I looked at this and to me, there's something wrong here. Go ahead.
Somewhere past the pandemic, when we're free, there's a life I remember, full of activity. Somewhere past the pandemic, masks will come off. No more need for a nose swab every time we cough. As we are gathered,
okay, I can't take this anymore. I, Eric the Tech, what do you think of that? I mean, do you have a reaction to that?
First off, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's a horrible rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but this is gravitas, I suppose, by the National Institute of Health, the director of. This is the guy, by the way, just to frame this up, this is the man in charge of, this is Fauci's boss. This is a guy who actually subsidized the research into the bioweapon we now know as SARS-CoV-2. This is a guy that funneled money to Fauci, from Fauci to Ralph Baric, Echo Health Alliance, and from Echo Health Alliance over to Wuhan. To research and create what we are now fighting today. And this is the same guy who is behind a lot of the jabs and, as a result, a lot of the policies that are requiring you to A, wear a mask, B, get the jab, or you will not be able to do anything in society at all. And he's talking about, hey, after the pandemic, let's be free. You'll be free. You're only going to be free, essentially. And this is how the song goes. I'll have a link to it in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But only after you do what we tell you will you be free. So that should tell everyone right there. And of course, he does that in the song, breaking out in song, which I think is just in totally bad taste. But anyway, there you have it. I don't know. There's something really wrong, obviously. Folks, I'll tell you what's right. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey. We all shop online, and this is a time of year where you order stuff online. I know you do. And we do this. My wife does this. In fact, in her recovery, she ordered a couple of things online, and she's using Honey. We use it all the time here at the studio. And you know, when you go into a place that a store online, you know, you've seen that promo code field. It taunts you as you at checkout. It taunts you. It hangs back there. Don't you want to like get the best deal you can ever get? Well, thanks to Honey, now you can. And manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. And Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. We saved a couple of dollars on food delivery here today using Honey. That's very true. And we also saved really a lot of money on a recent equipment purchase. I'm pretty sure it was close to $40 or $50. And that's money in your pocket, additional discretionary income. I like to look at it. So imagine that you're shopping at one of your favorite sites. And this is how it works. When you check out, the Honey button drops down. And all you have to do is click apply coupons and wait a few seconds. And Honey searches for coupons it can find for you at that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. And I told you, we already saved money on it. And I love this because I don't have to think. I don't have to mess with the, I wonder if I got the best deal. Honey has found over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Let that sink in. So if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free. It stalls in a few seconds. And you know, if I can do this, because I'm not the brightest bulb when it comes to tech stuff. If I can do this, you can do it. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Folks, get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. As I like to say, you'll thank me later. All right. A couple of things that I want to bring up that I found this astounding as well. Francis Collins aside. And I want to mention too, we really need to find out. We need the truth as to exactly who was responsible for implementing or creating this bioweapon. We know, but I want more effort put into this and more accountability put into this with respect to the creation of this bioweapon that we're experiencing. And by the way, you know, I've lost people close to me from this virus, sadly. All right. And most of them, probably all of them had some level of immunocompromise and also some other risk factors. But, you know, so in my view, and I would like to hear from you in the dialogue boxes or in the comment section of Rumble or Brighteon, you know, have you lost anyone? And if so, would you consider this murder? Because I kind of do. Not kind of, I do. What if somebody told you that it was proven that, we'll say, Francis Collins was the man behind the creation of this virus, or Fauci, or Ralph Baric, or Jeremy Farrar, or the collective of this group? Wouldn't you want some justice served? I kind of think you would, and I know I do. I want to see them brought to justice. My question, though, is will they be brought to justice? Do you see a time when they will be brought to justice? Unless we force the issue and put more effort into finding this out, we've got the motive, we've got the means, but we need the absolute identification of the suspects. Let's move to, if you don't mind, let's move to talking about where the nation is at in terms of our levels of culture, I didn't even know what to call it. Lack of culture, lack of, speaking of justice, the lack of law and order, the lack of justice. I like that. Fell right down. I want to show you this clip. This is from Chicago. I don't know how many people have seen this. Men and women cover as they record what seems like a war zone in Chicago. Have you seen this? This is rather disturbing, to say the least. Go ahead and play clip number two. This is from Chicago, and I believe that this was compiled by the Daily Caller. The link will be in the program description box for the entire video. But imagine being in your home in Chicago, and here's what you hear. Go ahead and play it.
Turn off the lights.
Now, for the radio listeners, that's showing the screen.
Mayor Lightfoot saying some retailers are not doing their part.
Can you imagine being in a condo, an apartment in Chicago?
In a gun-free zone.
In a gun-free zone. That's a good point. And experiencing that. I don't know how many people out there have been shot at or ever been shot at or shot or whatever, but it's a terrifying, it gets your blood pumping. It's terrifying to be shot at or to be in the vicinity where people are shooting at other people. This is America today. This is what's going on in America today in some of the bigger cities. And this clip does go on. It would be good to let it play if we can. And this is about the smash and grab stuff that's taking place. This is where we're at today culturally. And Steve Bannon Breitbart had always said that politics is downstream of culture. This is where our culture is right now. Go ahead and let that play for a minute.
Protect their own stores.
I'm disappointed that they're not doing more to take safety and make it a priority. For example, we still have retailers that won't institute plans like
Lightfoot's sighting.
It's Beetlejuice in the wild. And yeah, pause that right there. Eric the Tech, this is a mayor saying, now again, think of what you just saw. And consider what you just saw and heard. And all this smash and grab stuff taking place in Chicago. And this mayor is standing up there saying that she's disappointed in the shop owners for not having better security. Again, every time, is it me? Eric, is it me? When a nurse comes in, double mask, the tape over the mask, goggles, vaccinated proud button, demanding that a patient mask up, and then after that, giving that patient for nausea something to smell, a peppermint scented sticker. Does that even, in what world does that even make sense? So in what world does this make sense? Do we have any critical thinking left anymore? Is anyone home? Let this play.
In your stores, making sure that they've got cameras that are actually operational.
But the mayor and others saying there also has to be greater accountability for those caught committing crimes.
We have to make sure that we don't allow our city to be torn up.
You can hire 20 or 30 more security guards, but when they lock them up and they put their name on that piece of paper to prosecute, and that offender's back on the street at that store the next day, threatening them security guards, it means nothing. This is a ripple effect. You throw a pebble in the water, and the ripple effect is criminals know they'll be back on the street. If we're not getting ahead of it in our judicial system, we're not going to fix it on the streets. And our mayor knows that. You got 12 cities across the country that are seeing astronomical homicide rates. I mean, if you pull back the screen a little bit and ask yourself, what's the common denominator in that? It's the state's attorneys that are district attorneys in those cities, the majority of them. They're radical district attorneys that believe that putting criminals back on the street is the way back to fixing the problems in crime. And then we have a revolving door effect here in Chicago.
Okay.
Everyone is stunned by
that. You can click on
the
link at HagmanReport.com for the entire video, but thank you, Daily Caller. But again, think about this. We're living in a world right now where down is up, where black is white, where a boy is a girl is a boy, where there could be fluid genders, but yet we're told to follow the science. We're living in an environment, in a world, in a situation where hey, you know what, you're going to do what we tell you to do, or you're not going to be able to do anything at all. You know, I believe right now, and this is my message today, I believe that a revolution is not only inevitable based on what we're seeing right now, but it's necessary. You know, within the last couple of months, I've seen death and destruction, and I mean destruction, up close and personal. You know, I've watched close friends die, some needlessly. I've been lectured by doctors and bureaucrats while being told not to listen to doctors and bureaucrats, other doctors and bureaucrats. I've been told that I cannot trust my own investigative research and findings. I've been told that I can't trust what I see. And you have too, every one of you. We are witnessing the system, in my view anyway, we're witnessing the systematic dismantling and ultimate destruction of a system, of a culture, of a nation. However imperfect that system was, or imperfect that nation was, wasn't it at least self-sustaining? Didn't we have people in charge that kept everything going? We did. The system was built, folks, don't forget, the system was built in the West by Americans. Now, you may take exception to that, saying, well, wait a second, we had the systems built in the Western countries in Europe and such, to some extent. But where do the greatest innovations come from? They come from America and the West, and specifically in America. The systems were created for the most part, again, imperfect, yes, but they were created by Americans who loved America and all of the benefits that our country offered. They were created by God-loving, God-fearing Americans who knew which bathroom to use. They didn't have to check to see, you know, which you identify with. They knew that there were only two genders or sexes, whatever you want to call it, that's male and female. They knew that by following the biblical Ten Commandments, by following the Christian faith, the Christian walk, that we can get through anything together. You know, now that system is broken, and it was intentionally destroyed by who I would call a cabal of individuals that are non-elected. In some cases they are, but non-elected, generally speaking. People like Klaus Schwab at World Economic Forum, but it's not just Klaus Schwab. It's the people and associates around him. Think back to 2019, you had Mark Zuckerberg, and I had talked extensively about this, the CFTL, organization by Zuckerberg that funneled tons of money into the election of 2019, funded many of the drop boxes, funded many of the areas where voter fraud was rampant. And some will say, well, hey, that's been disproven, voter fraud. No, it hasn't. Not even in the least. Are we doing anything about it? I believe, and these are troubling words. This is a troubling statement to make, but I believe in my heart of hearts that if we don't revolt, I mean physically, actually revolt, history will not be kind to us. God will not look upon us favorably. I think it's and certainly we're not doing anything that our forefathers didn't do. I mean, think about this. Because we could talk all day long, can't we? And all night long, and day after day after day, this problem, that problem. But what are we doing about it? Now, I'm not calling for, you know, violent overthrow of anything. I am just looking at this and saying, in my view, it's a revolution that is coming. In some cases, it's here. Revolting against the system that keeps us as slaves. You know, I want to just touch on this because I found this, and I admire what our forefathers did. when confronted with untenable situations. Think back to the American colonies when they were flourishing back in prior to the Revolutionary War, back in 1763. The colonies were flourishing. This is about the monetary system, but it's all intertwined here. While the founding father, Benjamin Franklin, for example, was visiting Britain, consider this, a Bank of England representative asked Benjamin Franklin this: how do you explain the American colonies' prosperity? How come you guys are doing so good over there in America? He said this. The answer really is simple, and I'm paraphrasing his answer. In the colonies, we issue our own money. It's called colonial script. And I've seen, by the way, the money from that time. It's just an amazing thing. But anyway, we issue it in proper proportion to the demands of trade and industry to make the products pass easily from the producers to the consumer. In this manner, and this is what's key here, in this manner, creating for ourselves our own paper money, we control its purchasing power and we have no interest to pay to no one. Is it possible, folks, that we're looking at a situation that the SARS-CoV-2 unleashed intended to bring down our country, but specifically our economy, which would bring down our nation? I think that's very possible, because here's what happened back in 1763, 64. After Franklin said, look, we got our own money. We're not dependent on you folks. Think of today now with America and the Fed. And think about what happened back then. The private central bank of England was prompted by his response, by Franklin's response to that question, to pressure Parliament into passing the Currency Act of 1764. A little history lesson here. That act outlawed, remember, America was British colonies. In the run-up to the Revolution, the Currency Act of 1764 outlawed the colonies from making their own currency and forcing them to pay taxes strictly in gold and silver to their mother country. Oh, and don't get me started on gold and silver right now, the suppression of the prices. Excuse me, of the prices. But Franklin, or after they did this, after the central banks of Great Britain did this, Franklin commented, he said, boy, what a difference a year makes. A little humorous jab there. And I know the history of Benjamin. I get all that, the Hellfire Club. I understand that. But in this case, fighting against the Bank of England, this is akin to fighting against the Federal Reserve today. In 1 year, though, after when he said, boy, what a difference that a year makes, in 1 year, conditions were so reversed that the era of prosperity ended and a depression set in to such an extent that the streets of the colonies were filled with the unemployed. What are we seeing today? Again, culture being downstream from politics. You saw that Chicago video. What are we seeing today? Is this not part and parcel to the entire big picture of things? Franklin warned Americans, having traveled extensively to other countries, Britain and France, for example. He witnessed firsthand how European private businesses or banking businesses were poison, that they were formed that formed his explanation of why the American colonies were so compelled to enter their war of independence against England. And you know, what started this or what really fueled this is when King George, back in that time period, King George III, his refusal to allow the colonies to operate to have an honest money system, monetary system. It freed the ordinary man from his clutches. It would free the ordinary man from the clutches of the money manipulators. If you look back at that time, this was, I believe, one of the, if not the impetus for, but one of the biggest impetus for the revolution. So what are we seeing today? How does history show us what's going on today? Well, I would say this: you look at what the with Pfizer, Moderna, all these companies. You look at the insider trading. You look at the decisions made prior to the SARS-CoV-2 releasing of the bioweapon. You look at the activities of these companies and the incestuous relationship between people like Francis Collins, but specifically like Gottlieb, into the FDA and others, the crossover, the lateral movements from government regulatory agency into private industry. You can see that this is about money in part. It's about control. And oh, by the way, the Fed basically controls you through the through this oppressive monetary system. But as people are waking up and as the Ponzi scheme is about to expire, they've got to take down the system. They've got to crash the system. What better way to do it than we're seeing right now? So again, this to me makes a revolution inevitable, but it also makes it a requirement. One aspect. Oh, you know what? I want to show you too. As long as we're talking about culture, take a look. That you saw Chicago. Now let's go to San Francisco. Clip 3. If we ready for that, is that okay? All right. Take a look at what's going on in San Francisco. And I want to ask you this: if you had to travel to San Francisco, not that you necessarily would, but would you do this? Well, watch this and ask. I want to hear your answer. Would you put up with this? Go ahead.
Yeah, Brandy, this shows how bad the problem is and how desperate some shoppers are getting. We're seeing this primarily up in the Bay Area. People are literally leaving the trunks of their cars open or the hatch on their SUV open. And the idea is that thieves will see there's nothing worth taking in the car and they won't be smashing windows and rummaging through vehicles. And that may be one answer, but the downside, of course, is that it also makes it really easy to steal somebody's car.
Well, we're in different times. That's unbelievable. I mean, if they leave their trunk open, you know, some cars, depending on what kind of car you have, you still can get inside to the interior.
Yeah, a lot of newer cars, those back seats fold down into the trunk. It's real easy to go through the trunk into the vehicle and then steal the car. So that's a real concern for these people who are taking the...
Folks, you can get this at HagmanReport.com, the link to this. Are you okay with that? Folks, let me ask you, have we grown to such a level of acceptance where we're okay with this? I hope not. I hope that we have some fight left in us. I hope that we have some level of spunk. That's even the wrong word. I hope that we have some level of responsibility. Not, if not to us and our families, but to our children and grandchildren. Do you want them living in a world like this? This dystopian environment where you're ducking in your own condo in Chicago while you have a mayor lecturing you, Mayor Beetlejuice lecturing you, the store owner, for not having enough security and security cameras to prevent the people that are robbing you blind, robbing you into bankruptcy while defunding the police. Is this okay with you? Is it okay? Is it okay that you go to, if you're in San Francisco, it's just a fact of life. I got to leave my trunk open. I have to leave my windows down to show that there's nothing in there. Are you okay with that? I hope not. If you are, if you say, well, that's just part of, this is the way it goes, then we're done. It's over. And this, as I close, Francis Collins, National Institute of Health. I don't even know how to describe this. But before we play this as an outro, I just want to say thank you very much. I'm going to be back in full force next week, I guarantee you. And watch this weekend too. I want to, I've got some things to write and I've got some things to say. And so watch HagmanReport.com for that. But in the meantime, just to hold you over, is this okay with you? Is this okay with you? Go ahead. Oh, in 15 seconds? All right. I have to, I apologize, folks. I had the program clock is a little askew today, as usual. All right, folks. Again, I want you to have a great weekend. Please watch HagemanReport.com and also Galileo. Galileo, go ahead.
A dozen years are almost through, but it's been great to work with you. Let's end COVID now. Thank you, HHS.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.